Good morning, New Life.
Good morning.
It is so good to be here, so good just to be with you as you worship. Worship team, that was absolutely amazing. Can we just honour that real quick? Is that okay? That was so good. Absolutely brilliant. There's just such a sense of freedom and just such a sense of desire to just lean into God's presence and to lean into what God has. And we're just so grateful to be here. I know we're here to minister to you, but I feel you'll probably do more ministering to us today. It's so good. I am from Northern Ireland, if you haven't picked that up yet. And if I do begin to speak a little bit quickly, just say, Jordan, slow down. Even in my own church, I'm an associate pastor in Carrick Nazarene Church, just on Belfast Lock, and sometimes they even come up and they say, Jordan, you need to slow down. Am I okay with the mic there, guys? Yeah? Okay, great. Okay. Just want to say thank you as well, just for the invite from David and Bev, and for looking after us so well this weekend as well, and for taking Chloe in, coming across the water to do her placement and stuff. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. And we all just want to say that you have great pastors, you have great leaders, and I believe that unity, true unity, comes in the context of honour. True unity comes in the context of honour, and when we honour our leadership and when we trust them with vision and we go with them, even though sometimes things might seem a bit uncertain or a bit new or a bit fresh, when we honour God and we honour the people he's put in front of us and we follow them, unity, blessing and expansion comes with that. Amen? Awesome. Well, here, a quick background. Like I said, Chloe and I are from Northern Ireland. I serve as the associate pastor at a local church over there. I've known David and Bev my whole life, believe it or not. My dad was David's best man at his wedding, and David was my dad's best man at his wedding. They come from a wee estate in East Belfast, and they've grown up together, and so naturally I've known David and Bev my whole life, as they've been family friends for a very, very long time, and so it's great to be able to come and do ministry and just to be amongst everything that New Life is. I love your building, by the way, as well. It's so open and fresh, and I just love it. So it's so good to be here. Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
All right, okay. If you have a Bible with you, it'll be on the screen. If you don't have one, we're reading from Matthew 6, 9-13. And as I understand, you're about to embark on a new series in the Lord's Prayer. And at the minute, you're also journeying through 21 days of prayer and fasting, is that right?
Yes.
Is anybody hungry? It's okay. Days of prayer and fasting. You know, as I was standing there and I was just kind of asking the Lord if he wanted to say something specific, the only real thing that kind of felt coming upon my heart really was this. I remember a story that a pastor who I sat under for a wee while once said he had a vision from the Lord, and he was walking through the Mourne Mountains, which are a mountain range in Ireland, and as he was dreaming, he was calling out to God, "More of you, more of you." But then he heard an echo coming back, "More of you, more of you." And I feel that this season that you're in, and it's so evident with the worship, I mean, that was obvious for us this morning, that you're calling out to God for more of him. And that's also obvious through your 21 days of prayer and fasting. You're calling out for more of God. But I hope tonight you would, or this morning, you would hear the Father's echo, "More of you, more of you." And so maybe that's in season for you, I don't know, but if you want more of God, that has to come at the expense of giving more of ourselves to him. And that's going to look very different for every person sitting here this morning. But what is it that the Lord is asking of you so that he can give you more of himself? More of you, more of you. Alright, well, here, let's get into the word anyway. So, throughout history, we're going into the Lord's Prayer. The line I was given was, "Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name." And throughout history, the Lord's Prayer has been there to inspire politicians, scientists, great statesmen, and even sports people. Even from Napoleon Bonaparte all the way through to Woodrow Wilson, 20th President of the United States of America, all reflected on, considered, and embraced the Lord's Prayer. For 2,000 years, the Lord's Prayer has shaped and it has molded our understanding of the who, the why, the what, and the how of how prayer works. This paradox of this communication between heaven and earth. The Lord's Prayer is something that has shaped our civilization, and it is something that continues to shape our churches and our lives today. And so by the time we arrive at the Lord's Prayer, here's been the story so far. So in Matthew 6, we see Jesus teaching his followers. He's teaching his disciples about the importance of a public life of faith and a private life of faith. And he was pointing out people who, they might have looked like they were getting it right publicly, but there was no relationship with God privately. And so that's the context for the Lord's Prayer, is that it's great to come together and to pray publicly, which you're doing tonight, and that's what it's all about. But that gets fueled in your own living rooms, in your own bedrooms, in your own hearts. Private prayer should precede public prayer. And if we're seeking God in private, then that's going to come through in public. And Jesus was really pointing out something in the culture, that within prayer at that time amongst God's people, some of it had got skewed. It had got a little bit twisted. It had become a bit of a public show, and how are people going to hear me, and how do I sound, and do I get it right? I mean, we all know the Pentecostal buzzwords, don't we? When we're praying, we sometimes know the right thing that we think the Lord wants to hear. But prayer must come from the heart. And that's what the Lord was teaching. And so when we dive in to the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says this, in this manner, pray. And so we're going to dive in to the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, verse 9, beginning. Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Quick disclaimer about the Lord's Prayer. Jesus, when he gives this prayer, is not a prayer necessarily to be memorized in the sense that it is to be repeated over and over and over again. It's not a rhyme to be learned, but rather a rhythm to live by. Not a rhyme to be learned, but a rhythm to live by. What Jesus gives us is a pattern, is a model, is a template for what prayer should look like. I don't think the Lord had it in his heart that we would start with our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, race to the finish, and that's the prayer done. But rather, this is about a step-by-step process of what it is to pray and what it is to seek God. And this is how he begins, and this is the line we're taking this morning. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And this is where we get into some teaching. I mean, hallowed be your name. For us today, it is a strange phrase. I think sometimes in church we let on that there's some lines in the Bible that might seem normal today, but really they're not. They're unusual phrases. They're unusual things to say if you were to take it to the workplace or you were to take it to school or wherever you do life. Hallowed be your name. So let's break it down. Let's break it into hallowed and let's break it into your name. The first one is this, hallowed. What does it mean, hallowed? Hallowed is an old English term. It's not really used anymore unless you're watching the BBC and they're talking about at Wembley Stadium or they're talking about Lourdes or they're talking about Twickenham. Hallowed isn't really used in our language anymore. But even modern interpreters of the Bible, for example the NIV, still use the term hallowed because of the weightiness and the significance of the term. And if you understand the word hallow in the Lord's Prayer, it unlocks all the meaning behind it. Now, what does it mean to hallow? To hallow is to understand something as supreme, as ultimate, as adored, as praiseworthy, and to be worshipped. To hallow something is to adore something, which is usually why in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name is understood as adoration, but another way we could interpret adoration this morning is praise or with worship. Whatever we hallow, we worship. Whatever we hallow, we praise. Now, what does be your name in this context? See, if I was writing the Lord's Prayer, we might have said something like, hallowed be God, hallowed be Jesus, or hallowed be God's love, hallowed be God's grace, hallowed be God's mercy. But hallowed be God's name, hallowed be your name. And again, for us, for Christians, it's normal, but if you zoom out, it's still quite a strange phrase to use. Hallowed be your name. Why God's name and not God himself? See, today a name is simply a means that we use to identify each other, right? So Pastor David, we identify him with his name, David. Or Chloe, I identify Chloe as Chloe. And Bev as Bev. The names are only used to identify each other. But in ancient times, somebody's name was about capturing the essence and the character of the person. The person was indistinguishable from their name. And so when we say, hallowed be your name, we are capturing the very essence and the very nature of God himself. Hallowed be your name, we are encapsulating everything that he is. Take, for example, even the names of God. El Shaddai, Lord Almighty. Jehovah Ra, Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Jireh, Lord provider. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. And Adonai, my master. And so this is really simply how this line in your prayer works. Hallowed be thy name. What we're saying is this. When we pray, hallowed be your name, we say to God, we place you, God Almighty, our shepherd, our healer, our provider, our peace, our master, as sacred, as ultimate, as adored, as praised, and as worshipped. All wrapped up in that one line. It's about placing the name of God and the nature, the character, the essence of God right at the very center of what prayer is all about. When we start communicating and communing with God, we must start it by worship and with prayer. See, what I love about the Lord's Prayer is that Jesus doesn't teach us that praise and that prayer are necessarily two different things. But actually, praise is a part of prayer. Praise is a part of the function, is a part of the fabric of what prayer is. And if we really want to be a praying church, if we want to live prayerful lives, then praise and worship and adoration must be a part of that. Praise and worship are hand in hand. Now, here's the next thing. Why begin, as Jesus teaches us on a practical level, why begin prayer with praise? Because that's essentially what the Lord's Prayer is structured like. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name be praised, your name be ultimate, your name be central, your name be worshipped. But why should we begin our prayer with praise? Why begin prayer with praise? The first thing's this: praise fulfills your purpose. Praise fulfills your purpose. I'm at the movie, not sorry, lads. I'm not used to this, you see. There we go. There you go. Right. Praise fulfills our purpose. I think there's something in the heart of man, in the very fibre of our beings, that feels as though we are completing everything that we are called to be, everything that we are created to be, when we really press in true worship. When we really lean into the presence of God and we lift up his name and we give him everything from the very depths of our soul, I think there's something of satisfaction in that, because it's who we were created to be. Have you ever had a season or a period in your life where things seem a bit rudderless? That there's a little lack of purpose? That there's a question of, God, why am I here? What am I doing? What's this about? And often we tend to attach that to maybe our careers or to our calling. But I think sometimes we even feel that in the very depths of our spirits. Is God, what is this all about? But if we look at the garden in Genesis, all the way through to the garden city in Revelation, we discover that the whole purpose and the whole existence for humanity is to worship, is to hallow the name of God. And so there's something I believe that when we come together as the church, but also as individuals in our own secret places, according to Matthew 6, that there's something deep within us gets fulfilled when it comes to worshipping the name of God. And so if you're in here this morning and you're worried about your purpose or you're confused about your calling, believe it or not, it begins and it rests on praising God's name. All prayer begins with praise. And when we praise, it fulfills our very purpose for existing. The second reason for beginning prayer with praise is this: praise hosts the presence of God. And I think that was evident even in your worship this morning. We were so blown away by it. Have you ever been in a moment? Have you ever had an experience where you're in prayer? In fact, I'm asking this, and I know the answer is yes, because I'm guilty of it as well. Where we come to prayer, maybe you've found this over your time of fasting and prayer, where it's as though surely this should be a little bit more supernatural than what it feels like at times. Sometimes it's as though we pray and it's as if our prayers bounce off the ceiling and come straight back down again. Sometimes I think we wonder that if we're really talking to the Lord and the Creator of this universe, well then surely there should be some evidence, surely there should be some experience or some confirmation that heaven is meeting earth here. And sometimes in church life it can feel a little bit void, can't it? As though it's just kind of us speaking and it's like where's the bit where Jesus comes? Like, what is this? I think sometimes prayer, whether corporately or individually, can feel a little bit void of God's presence, of God's hand, and because of God's touch. Because we miss out the fact that we should begin prayer with praise. Because praise opens the door to the presence of God and to the nearness of God. Now, don't get me wrong, there's seasons where you could go for weeks praying, you could go for hours praying, really seeking the Lord, and it's as if nothing happens. Sometimes that comes around for different reasons that we don't have time to go into this morning. Sometimes it feels as though we're in a dry spell and in a dry season. But prayer corporately, prayer usually, if we're in deep connection and relationship with Jesus, should come around to the place where we know that we know that we know that the Lord is in the room. That we know that Jesus is here. That we know that the Holy Spirit is having His way. But that door only opens if we begin by praise. Praise opens the door to God's presence. Really quickly, here's the theology of praise, right? It's found in Psalm 22, verse 3. Really quickly, the theology of praise. And the psalmist cries out to God, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Now, really what he's saying is this: when God's people praise, it creates a throne for God. Now, here's a question, and shout me the answer. At the very basic level, what is a throne? At the very basic level, what's a throne?
A seat.
It's a seat, right? So what the psalmist is saying is that when God's people praise, when God's people worship, when God's people hallow His name, it creates a seat for God where He comes and He sits. But the question is, are we going to be a kind of church that has a seat for God? Are we going to be the kind of church that in our worship, and I know that you are, but a church where our worship, again corporately and also individually, where there's a seat, where there's a throne for the presence of God to come and to sit? There's nothing like prayer when it is guided and it is soaked in the presence. And when I say the presence of God, I know you guys are from a tradition and you have leadership that teach you this anyway, but the presence of God is the sense, the tangibility that God's in the room. That God is in the room. And I'll tell you this, and I've challenged our own guys with this as well. See, when it comes to praise and it comes to prayer, if the Lord walked into the room, I think all our postures would change. Our posture of praise and our posture of prayer would completely differ, would completely change if we knew that Jesus has walked into the room. But the reality is that He's here. And so our posture ought to reflect that. that our praise is, yes, it's vibrant, but it's also reverent, and it's also bowed in the face and in the majesty and in the name of the Lord. I'm getting
carried away. I need to go back to my notes.
Praise fulfills your purpose. Praise brings the presence of God. And thirdly, praise sets the priority. Hallowed be thy name. See, we all hallow something, right? We all hallow something. Every one of us, there's something. I it's a wee bit like the scripture, guard your heart above all else, for everything you do flows from it. And I think there's a principle in scripture that we all have a hallowed place. We all have a place in our hearts and a place in our minds that takes the place of worship, that takes the place of praise. And whatever is in that hallowed place, whatever we hallow, whatever we see as supreme, whatever we see as ultimate, whatever we see as the thing that ought to be praised and put first and put center, will set the priorities for your life. At the beginning of this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be God's name is important because it sets the priority for the lives of the prayer and it sets the perspective for the rest of the prayer. So, I need five volunteers. Can I have five volunteers? Is that okay? Do you want us to come up and make a fool of themselves? Five? That's all I need.
One, you're up for it.
Yes. So this is to kind of illustrate the importance of praise in prayer and the significance of beginning prayer with praise. And as we talked about, the Lord didn't give us a rhyme to sing off, but rather a rhythm to live by. And so here's kind of how that rhythm works when it comes to praise in prayer. So, excellent. 1, 2, 3, 4. Need one more. Need one more.
Come on, Shelley.
Shelley. Okay. Since he's the father of the house, we'll give David the father. All right, there you go. Just take that for me. Thank you. So David, if you could come and just stand just here for me, okay? And if guys, if you can kind of stand around him, but with your sheets facing the rest of the congregation, that would be brilliant. So, in our lives and in our prayers, whatever takes the hallowed place sets the priority. Whatever takes the place of worship and the place of prayer will take the priority. Now, sometimes it will surprise us when we ask the Holy Spirit and we ask the Lord to show us what is in our hallowed place. What it takes the place of praise. What takes the place of worship. And so often we find the wrong thing there. See, for example, David here, Pastor David, is in the hallowed place. He's in the center of my life right now. Not David himself, the Lord, obviously. That would be weird. The Father, in this instance, takes the center place. He takes the center of our worship. He inhabits the hallowed place. But what begins to happen in our lives is the hallowed place, the worship place, the praised place often gets replaced by things like family. Now, is there anything wrong with family being in the center of our lives in and of itself? Maybe not. Family's a good thing. Family's a blessed thing. But the problem is, anytime anything that's not the name of the Father ends up in the place of praise and ends up in the place of worship in our lives, all the priorities get screwed.
Skewed.
See, you make these mistakes in England and not Northern Ireland. Because that's a second offence. Okay. Whatever ends up in the place of praise will set the priorities. They will skew the priorities. So, for example, if family is in my hallowed place, I will look at my career through the lens of my family, which in and of itself might sound okay. I will look at my finances through the lens of my family. I will look at my time and how I spend it and how I use it through the lens of my family. If we swap again, if career comes into the middle and it comes into the hallowed place again, and this was where things begin to come a wee bit skewed. if I have my career in the hallowed place, if I have my career at the place of worship and at the central place, and it's where I give all my energy and all my worship to, even though we don't sing to our careers and we don't sing to certain things in our lives, doesn't mean we don't worship them and it doesn't mean we don't praise them. But when career takes the center place in our lives and our hearts, when it inhabits the hallowed place, I begin to use my time and spend my time according to how I worship my career. The Lord gets His place and gets His time according to how much space I can give Him in my career. My family gets seen through the lens of my career. My finances get spent, get saved, get given through generosity through the lens of my career. And so as you can see, whatever inhabits the hallowed place, the place of praise and the place of worship in our lives will determine the priorities that you live by. How it's meant to live is this. The Father, the name of the Father, ought to be in the hallowed place, ought to be in the central place. Now, often we talk about this, we mean corporately as the church, but it's so important that we apply this individually. Because corporately as the church can only take you so far. There's responsibility for your own life and for your own prayer life that you've got to take for yourself. And so in the name of the Father, hallowed be your name. As at the center of our prayer, at the center of our lives, in the place of praise, and I'm going to keep repeating at the place of praise and the place of worship, all the priorities get set right again. And maybe in your life it feels like there's some chaos. It feels like things are a little bit out of sync. Could I challenge you this morning? What's in the hallowed place? What's in the place of praise? What's in the place of adoration? What's in the place of worship? Because there will set the priorities for the rest of your life. Because how it's meant to work is when I begin my prayer and I begin my time with God, again, whether individually or corporately, I ought to see my family through the lens of the Father. I ought to see my finances through the lens of hallowed be your name. I ought to see my time and how I spend it and who I give it to through the lens of worshipping the name of God. And so when the Father takes the central place and the name of the Father takes the central place of our lives and our prayers, all the priorities get set right. And this is the last thing. Whatever takes the place of praise shapes the perspective of your prayer. Whatever takes the place of praise, the central place, shapes the perspective of your prayer. This is how this works. So, I'm going to swap finance for confession. I'm going to swap family for petition. And I'm going to swap career for spiritual warfare, and you, my man, can hang on to time. What we put in the place of praise, what we put as central, will shape the perspective of your prayer. And as you guys go through this series and you go through the different lines of the Lord's Prayer, think about confession. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Petition, give us our daily bread. Spiritual warfare, deliver us from evil. When you begin with hallowed be thy name, hallowed be the name of the Father, it changes the perspective of all these different things. See, if we begin with confession, we've missed something when we forget the Father. When we begin with petition and go in asking, we miss something when we forget the Father. And the same with spiritual warfare, and the same with how we use time in our prayers. See, this is how it works practically. When we begin with hallowed be your name, in other words, when we begin with praise and we begin with worship, when it comes to prayer, it's okay. Because see, when I come to confession, I've already declared, I've already worshipped, I've already believed that the God in my heart has forgiven me on the cross and that He rose again and He's coming again. When I praise and when I worship, I already believe in Jehovah Jireh. I've already worshipped His name because He's going to provide all my needs. And all of a sudden, my perspective, when I begin with worshipping the name of the Father, changes everything else I pray for. It's the same in spiritual warfare. When we begin spiritual warfare with praise and with honor and with treating God's name as supreme, then we carry the authority of that in the spiritual warfare. But this has to be central and this has to be first. The Lord's Prayer is an amazing pattern and a rhythm to live by and to pray with. when the name of the Father is central and the name of the Father is worshipped, it shapes the perspective, it shifts the perspectives of all of your prayers. Thank you, guys. So, really simply, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is whatever is ultimate, whatever is sacred, whatever is praised, whatever is worthy. God's name is inseparable from his character. He is Jehovah Jireh, provider, our shepherd, our healer, our master. And so when we say, hallowed be your name, we are lifting up the reality of who God is and we're giving him praise. And that sets the stage for us to truly fulfill our purposes in our lives. We truly walk in the purposes and the plans of God when we begin prayer with praise. Second, we know the praise opens the door to God's presence. It welcomes him. It creates a throne. It creates a seat for him to come and sit. And can I just say this to you as a church as well? See, if you honor God's presence, if you cherish God's presence, if you protect values around the element of God's presence being with you, you will change lives. Because people will come in here and they will receive something that nothing else is going to give them. Nothing else is going to give them what the presence of God can deliver. And thirdly is this, praise sets your priority. When we begin prayer with praise, all of a sudden the priorities in our lives begin to get set right. All the chaos and the confusion and sometimes the frustration of trying to live life begins to become easier and set right when we align our priorities with heaven. But that begins with praise because it shifts our perspective. And last thing is this, praise shapes the perspective of your prayers. If you're frustrated in prayer at the minute, I'm sure you are because you're starving at the same time, I know it's difficult. But if you're struggling in prayer, which we all do, if sometimes prayer feels a little bit void of God's presence, can I encourage you to begin always your prayer with praise? Always begin your prayer with adoration and with praise, because that will shape your prayer, and I promise you, it will change your prayer life. It will change your prayer life when you begin prayer with praise. Amen? Amen. Amen. Good. Would you stand with me and we'll pray? Buddy on the piano, would you mind hitting the keys to make me sound more spiritual? That would be great. Because we all know that the prayer doesn't land unless there's somebody in the keys behind me. It's the way it is. Yeah. Father, we just come together as New Life Church, God, and in this new season, not just in leadership, but God, even in this new season spiritually, which is so palpable when we walked into the room today. Father, we want to open our hearts, we want to open our minds, God, to the possibilities of where you want to take us to, in your presence and in your purposes for Crawley. And Father, as we embark on this adventure, as we embark in this journey, this series of teaching about the Lord's Prayer, would you help us begin with praise? Would you help us begin with worship? Father, I pray you would challenge us this morning about things that are in the hallowed place that shouldn't be there. Maybe things, God, that are good in and of themselves, but they don't belong at the center. Father, you belong at the center. Father, help us to hear your voice so that we can move stuff out to move you in to the hallowed place, to the place of praise, and to the place of worship. And Father, I pray for this house that as they praise you, as they worship you, they would know the deep sense of fulfilling their purpose and their calling. As man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Father, I pray as this house praises, that they would know the tangibility of your presence. the nearness that God, you're not some kind of concept in the cosmos, but God, you're here, you are alive, you are powerful, and you are amongst us and you are in us. And Father, I pray that as your people praise, that all the priorities would get set right, that the perspective of our prayers would change, that God, we would never see prayer, or indeed the Lord's Prayer, the same ever again. Because when we begin with hallowed be your name be worshipped, your name be ultimate, your name be sacred, Father, it changes everything. Father, help us to praise in prayer, that we may know your purpose, your presence, and your priorities. God, bless this house, and I pray that you would expand it spiritually and with lives won. In Jesus' name.